Evening, if you have your Bibles, you turn with me to 1 Kings, chapter 22. 1 Kings, chapter 22. As you've been looking through 1 Kings and also 2 Chronicles, which mirrors much of what's going on in 1 Kings, and giving the same accounts and oftentimes from just a little different perspective. We are now looking at the nation of the northern kingdom, which is Israel, and the southern kingdom, which is Judah. The southern kingdom is being led by a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was Asa's son, and Jehoshaphat was a man of God. Jehoshaphat did much to get rid of the false worship in the southern kingdom of Judah. And in many ways, he was a man after God's own heart, a man that followed in the ways of David. At the same time that Jehoshaphat was reigning in the southern kingdom, his counterpart in the northern kingdom was Ahab. Ahab was, as I mentioned before, the most wicked king that had ruled the northern kingdom. But they were contemporaries. They were just about the same age. And as Jehoshaphat and Ahab reign, Jehoshaphat decides that he wants to go and visit Ahab. Now, you say, well, what is the issue here? Well, as we've been studying a little bit about Jehoshaphat, we see that he didn't trust the northern kingdom because he intensified his fortifications along the border. He intensified his fortifications around the cities in Judah. And because of Jehoshaphat's love for the Lord had really kept at bay the enemies of the Jewish people, those that would seek to destroy both Israel and Judah. And Judah had not been at war. Ahab, on the other hand, had constantly been battling. We just got done studying how that he had been at war with Syria on two different occasions already. And he's preparing to go to war with Syria again. One of the things that you look at when you see the text as we read it, it sounds like you're in many ways picking up newspapers from today. As you're seeing, it's the same players. It's Syria and the Jewish people, those that don't worship God versus those that worship God, and Satan using those that don't worship him to try and destroy those that do worship him. Well, there's many ways that Satan tries to destroy us, and one of it is to get to undermine our faith. And in the book of Proverbs, it says that we're not to fellowship with those who are evil. And we are not to fellowship with those and spend time with those who could influence us to go against God, because they will. And Jehoshaphat, as godly as he is, decides to have fellowship with Ahab. Now, Ahab had a wife that was worshiping Baal and doing everything she could to destroy anyone who loved God. So the very thing that Jehoshaphat was trying to get rid of in the southern kingdom, Ahab and his wife were instituting in the northern kingdom. And as we look at this tonight, it's just very interesting. And there are consequences that come from our decisions that can influence others generations later. And the consequences of the decisions of Jehoshaphat are going to influence not only those that he rules over, but his own family. Let's just take a look at the text this evening. We're going to be looking at Ahab's final battle with the Syrians, and look at the fact that the prophecies that were spoken about Ahab, how that he would die, are going to come to reality, and the manner in which he would die are going to come to reality, and the circumstances surrounding his death are going to come to reality. God doesn't fool around, and he is in control. And sometimes we may think, well, look at these ungodly people, ungodly Ahab, who could come against him, and he's even deceiving Jehoshaphat, but yet God's in control. So let's take a look at the text this evening, verse 20, chapter 22, verse 1. And they came 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. Wow, that's a long period of time for them. This is a northern kingdom is Israel. That's a long period of time for them to not be at war. There's constantly been not only war with external enemies, but war within families within Israel, as we see that the kings of the northern kingdom have come about by deceit, by coming and usurping the authority and rule of others, having kings put to death, and then taking their place. All of that occurring in the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom, it's been passed from generation to generation. So they've been at peace, but now war is on the horizon. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now why do they say come down when Judah is south of Israel? Because we'd say we're going up to Grand Forks, or we're going over to Minneapolis, or we're going down to Sioux Falls. But Israel, the northern kingdom, was north of Judah. So why does it say that he went down to Judah? Because, or down to Israel, to Ahab's rule? Because Jehoshaphat was ruling from Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is in the mountains, and Jerusalem is in Mount Zion. And if you look at Scripture and you'll study the New Testament, or even in the Old Testament, when the people go from anywhere in Jerusalem, they're always going up to Jerusalem. And it's because you're going up into the mountains, and Jerusalem sits on a mountain. And he's going down to see Ahab. And this may be a physical motion that he's doing in the way he's traveling, going down, but spiritually he's going down as well. It's not just a physical trip he's taking, he's going down spiritually in going to visit Ahab, and we're going to see why. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, this is Ahab speaking, on verse 3, and the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? In other words, Ramoth Gilead was a city that the Syrians had taken away. It would be over towards the Golan Heights today. And they had taken that away from the northern kingdom of Israel as part of the inheritance of the tribes. And they had defeated and taken it away. Ahab wants it back. And so he's been at peace now with Syria for 3 years, but his plan is to take this back and go to war. He also knows Jehoshaphat's coming. And so he wants to make a confederacy so he'll have greater strength against the king of Syria. So he says, so now he's going to talk to Jehoshaphat. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people are thy people, and my horses thy horses. Well, yes and no. Yes, they're all Jewish people, they're all descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're all members of the 12 tribes, which descended from the 12 sons of Jacob. They all were one kingdom. They all came out as one nation from Egypt under the leadership of Moses and then Joshua. And they were one kingdom under David and later his son Solomon. And they were also one people when the judges ruled. But since that time, they've been two people. And they have been two different people, one more spiritually minded than the other. And for Jehoshaphat to say, well, why not? Why wouldn't I go with you? Because we're one people, and one people, one horses, we're all good, we're one. No, they weren't. And it says here, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now, this is something that is very unlike what Ahab would do, but it's very much what Jehoshaphat would do. Jehoshaphat did inquire of the Lord, and so he asked Ahab, let's inquire of the Lord and see what he wants us to do. And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. Now, you're probably thinking, well, there's 400 prophets of God. God must be in this. God must be directing them to do that. You know, you have to remember, what had Jezebel just done to the prophets of God? She just had done killing a whole bunch of the prophets of God. These guys are not going to go against the word of the king Ahab unless God is really speaking through them. And they have become yes men who pretend to be religious, who to pretend to be doing what God says. And we need to remember in the day in which we live that there are a lot of people like that. They say, I'm a Christian. They say, I'm following God. But yet when it comes down, is God really speaking through them? Are they really living in accordance with the principles of God's Word? If these men were really 400 prophets of the Lord, wouldn't they be acting like Elijah? Wouldn't they be standing against Baal? Wouldn't they be standing against Jezebel and Ahab and all they do, as Elijah did? Well, there's one guy that does. And his name is Micah Ai. And let's just take a look at Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat does have some spiritual discernment. The problem is, he always doesn't follow where God's leading him and doesn't listen the way he should. But he does truly want to know what God says. And he says here, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we give, that we might inquire of him? Isn't there some other prophet besides 400 guys that echo in unison? It's like a giant choir. They all are together. Oh, go, go! Isn't there somebody else? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micah, Aiah, the son of Imlah, who, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so? What he's saying, if you can imagine, Ahab knows exactly that this man is of God. He's just like Elijah. Because he tells the truth. He doesn't just kowtow to Ahab and Jezebel because of the power they have over him, but he's willing to stand against the truth and speak the truth, even though it may cost him. You know, it's interesting in the history of the church. There have been many people that have been willing to stand, even though they've stood alone, against many, to speak the truth. Some of them suffered tremendously. There's a little book, and some of you may have read it. If you haven't, I encourage you to get it. It's called Pilgrim's Progress by Bunyan. And he was a man who loved the Lord. And he lived in an age in England where the church had become corrupted. The Church of England really It was a political organization instead of a true Christian church. It had broken off of Roman Catholicism simply because Henry VIII wanted to divorce his wife, and the Pope said was against divorce. And so he said, well, then I'll create my own church where I can do what I want to do. Oh, what does that sound like? And he did. He created the Church of England. And the Church of England, even today, is very much like the Roman Catholic Church. They don't worship, do some of the things. They don't worship Mary. They don't have indulgences. They don't do some of those things. But they, especially at the time that Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, they were becoming very ungodly. And he was thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. And when he was in prison, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, and it didn't stop him from preaching. And he continued to preach even when he was let out of prison. And he was willing to stand against the whole country of England if he had to stand against it, because he stood for truth. And that's what we're called to do. Paul stood against the whole culture and preached the gospel, against the Jewish religious system that was trying to prevent the gospel from being preached. He stood against the pagans of his day, which many of them sought to silence him, and yet he was willing to stand and proclaim the truth. That is what Micaiah is. A man willing to stand in the midst of evil and proclaim what God has placed on his heart. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth prophesy, does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten thither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each other on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And if you get the picture, why they say that they stood in the gates of the city of Samaria, that is where a lot of the decisions were made. That is where the kings would often sit to rule and make decisions. And Ahab, that's where he would make his decisions from. And Jehoshaphat sits next to him, and they show that they are two separate kings. Verse 11, and Zedekiah, the son of Shenaanah, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until they have consumed them. So you've got one of the 400 false prophets that gives an object lesson to these two kings, makes brass horns, pretends that he's a bull, comes out and says, these horns are going to push Syria out of the way. You'll overtake Ramoth Gilead, and it'll be yours. Go for it. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And you can hear him cheering. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, and be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Well, is it good when you lie? The answer is, it's never good when you lie. But if you're a liar, you think it's good. And if you're someone who is concerned more about your peace and prosperity than truth, you will think it's good. And so evidently this guard is telling him, do what these other guys do. Do what's good. No, that's not good. That would be lying. And he says, and Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And this shows the heart of this man, that he wasn't going to be pushed around by power. He wasn't going to be pushed around by authorities. He was going to only stand under the authority of God and speak the truth. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And you're going, why did he say that? Well, I think he could probably tell by the intonation of my voice, I think that's probably the way he said it. I don't think he said it cheering. I think he let him know, this isn't my real message. And immediately, Ahab picks up on that, and he says, and the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Well, what's amazing to me is you can have an ungodly man who desires to have his ears tickled by lies, who wants to believe the false prophets, but in his heart he knows what's true, and he also respects the person who's walking with the Lord who speaks the truth. And when that man doesn't speak the truth, he knows it. And then he tells him, wait a second here. This is not your character. Tell me the truth. How many times do I have to tell you? I adjure you, tell me the truth and what God really says. Not that I'm going to follow it, by the way, but I want to hear it. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee, that he would prophesy no good and concerning me but evil? What he had just said is, the king's going to be removed because they have no master, they have nobody over them, and they're going to be scattered like sheep, and they're going to all return to their own houses, and they won't have victory, they won't gain victory over Ramoth Gilead, but rather they're going to be defeated, and their leader is going to be destroyed. That's what God's vision or dream that he'd revealed to Micaiah had shown him. But he's not going to stop there with what he tells him. And the king said of Israel, the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him at his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall supersede Ahab? In other words, this is the prophet speaking again, and God has revealed to him what's going on in the spiritual realms. I want you to understand that what you see happening in the physical realms, there is another realm that we can't see. It's a spiritual realm. And the scriptures oftentimes will pull back the curtain and give us glimpses. This is one of those glimpses, where the Lord is looking at Ahab, and he's looking at all the prophets that are constantly tickling his ears, and so he asks, who's going to go and deceive Ahab again? He's asking the spirits in heaven. And it's interesting, if you look at another time that we see and pull back a glimpse of some of the interchanges that go on, is in the book of Job. And you'll see that at the beginning of the book of Job, which, by the way, Job never knew, even when he was going through all his troubles, he didn't get to read Job chapter 1. But in Job chapter 1, we see what the heavenly interchange was that resulted in the earthly actions. And we see that Satan came before the Lord with all the other angels. And Satan, as he came before the Lord said to him, have you ever considered my servant Job? Now why would God do that? Because Satan believes he has the power to destroy the faith of men and women who believe and trust in God and have given their lives to Him. Satan thinks he's more powerful than God. And God knew the heart of Job. And He knew no matter what He would allow Satan to throw at Job, Job would never curse him, nor would Job desert him. But Job would always follow him. And He wanted Satan to understand this. Because Satan, remember, he'd been created to lead all the angels of heaven in worship, and pride was found in him, and he rebelled against God's authority, he rebelled against God's position, and he desired it for himself. And so Job was going to be an object lesson of what love and commitment were to a being who had no commitment nor love. And the thing is, in this case, you have all these false prophets. And so God is going to say, you've got this man on earth, Ahab. And who will go and lead the deception? And so he says, and he said, I will, and the Lord said, in verse 21, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will go be a lying spirit. I will go, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. And therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. And Zedekiah, the son of Jenaiah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? It's interesting. You see a lot of things that are very similar to other accounts when Jesus was brought before and accused. And he was smitten on the cheek, much the same way when he gave the answer. It's, and Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see that day when thou shalt go into the inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. In other words, he's saying I'm going to die, so I want him put in prison and I want him tortured until I come back. And we'll see if he still wants to hold to his word. Well, is Micaiah going to change his word? No, the answer is he's not going to change it because he's speaking for the Lord. Things aren't going to change because Ahab and the false prophets want them to change, and because Ahab thinks that he can bully his way through and cause God to change because he's persecuting his prophet. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. You know, as you look at this, the prophet was unwilling to compromise his word, even though he was being persecuted. And the final word that he spoke before he was taken away and put into prison was to all the rest of the people. Remember, Jehoshaphat and Ahab had come out and placed their thrones at the gate of the city. The gate of the city is where all the people would gather to hear what they had to say and to hear their judgments and to hear their rulings. So it wasn't just a handful of people that were there. It was much of that city was there listening to this interchange. And he's telling them, listen to my words. Because my words are the true words. And if you're going to follow this man and his God, this is really what he's implying by these words, you're not following the true God. And he said, if this man comes back in peace, then my God isn't God. On Sunday, we're going to take a look at the battle. We're going to see what happens. And see, does Ahab come back or doesn't he? Are Micah Ai's words true? Is God who he says he is? Because, you know, we look at our culture today and a lot of it, it's the same spiritual battle as we see here. Good versus evil, truth versus lies, wickedness versus righteousness. And are we willing to be like Micah Ai and stand and say, I'm with God, even though I'm one against 400? Am I willing to stand and say, I'm with God and uplifting His righteousness, even though it may not be the popular thing to do? They were talking about, I was listening where they were talking about different things that people have had done to them, simply for standing for truth. Some people have had their, in Canada, when the truckers stood for truth, they had their bank accounts shut down. They were persecuted. Some of them were put in jail. And that was all for just saying we're not going to take a shot. In our culture, if the Ahabs of the world come to power, their goal is to silence the Christians. Are you going to be silenced because they threaten you like they threatened Micah Ai? Ahab threatened him. All those around him cajoled him. All you got to do is agree with the false prophets. You'll be okay. But he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm only going to speak what God places on my mouth to speak. And that's what he did. It cost him. But the Lord is the one who's the ultimate rewarder. And the Lord is the one who is there to give strength and help us to endure in the face of persecution. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand the words that you shared through this prophet. Help us to look just at the side lesson that we were looking at tonight about Jehoshaphat and his foolishness. To identify with an ungodly man like Ahab that did not want to hear the truth. And when he did hear the truth, he knew it was the truth and attempted to silence the man who proclaimed the truth. And yet he tried to pretend before Jehoshaphat that he was something he wasn't. Help us not to be deceived like Jehoshaphat into thinking somehow we can have fellowship with those people of this world that would desire to come against you and all you stand for. Lord, I pray now that you just go with us. Give us opportunities to be encouragers to others. And help us to share with them the truth that they may be set free from the lies of Satan. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to 558.